join St. Fabian?
Yeah.
Okay, so up next we have Fabian Duboise, correct? Duboise. Fabian is a certification engineer at Tally's eSecurity, where he's in charge of FIPS 140-2, PCI, HSM, common criteria, and TCP certification activities. He's been involved in high assurance EAL 5 plus evaluations of smart card products and standardization efforts in Europe. His topic for us is the certification process. Are we on the right track? So please welcome Fabian.
Thank you. Hello, home. Hopefully you can hear me. First, thanks for your presence here in my talk, and I would like to give you a quick clap for being into the ICMC 2017. So first, as a quick introduction on this slide, well, just to discuss a little bit. So I will overview the certification process that we are currently having, and I believe that there are many good elements that are in place in the FIPS 140 certification program, which I can mention ICMC, CMUF, the working groups that we are having, but the cryptographic technology group as well, and different elements like this. So I think we do a good job. And now I will focus on some areas for improvement for the FIPS certification process. So I'm gonna just set up a quick timer, sorry guys. Okay. So quickly, but it's the slide that you already seen a couple of times just before, as they were already mentioning that one. So FIPS 140-1 appears in 1994, the -2 was released in 2001, and we're still waiting for the -3. Well, I guess at some point it's gonna come, hopefully. And yeah, just a quick note from Theodore Roosevelt: the more you know about the past, the better prepared you are for the future. I think it's kind of appropriate. So, just a quick interruption. I just had a daughter. She's 1 month old, and she wanted to know. Thank you. And she do not understand what is FIPS 140 certification. So why do we do the FIPS 140 certification? So it's to comply with the Computer Security Act of 1987 that has been superseded with FISMA 2002. And it's a mandatory standard by the US government for the protection of sensitive information. It's requested by the customers for compliance and audits, requested in the call for standards, basically. And because FIPS 140-2 is a real valuable asset, it's recognized by the market and customer recognize the value of it. So I think that's really good. So here, I wanted to quickly share with you a picture of a French, because yeah, I'm French, I think you already understood. And this is Claude Monet, Déjeuner sur l'herbe. And I think it seems very welcoming. You want to join into this party. So yeah, come and join us. And it's a little bit what you can see with the general flow of the FIPS 140-2 testing and validation. It's like really welcoming. It sounds very nice and beautiful and so on. So I'm gonna have a quick look to the different stakeholders' responsibility in that process. Won't take that long, promise. So the developer develops the product, the documentation as well. He engaged the laboratory with a contract. If you want to sign an NDA, you can sign an NDA, I recommend though. And you run the CAFP testing and maybe hopefully soon the automated CAFP testing. The laboratory performs the evaluation, performs the functional and physical testing, write the evaluation report, validate that the developer is doing what he's supposed to do. And the CMVP reviewed the report and security policy. I keep it really short. I'm sure everyone does way much more, so, but just wanted to make the very high level points. So here is like putting those elements into perspective. I did like an attempt to show a little bit on where are the interactions. I don't know if you can see if I do that. Oh, no, I see. Yeah. Yeah, can you see? Okay. So here you have the development part that starts way earlier with the development of the product, with the engagement of the lab, and with the contract. So you have the developer starting to do some work, and he engaged the lab to do the contracting after you start the evaluation. So there's like activity all together. You do the testing and so on. And after you have the finalization of the evaluation report, just over here, it's really done by the laboratory. And finally, really, just before the submission, you finalize the security policy, whatever. After, there's like a gap. And the certification process starts with a heavy load for the CMVP, who do multiple tasks, engage the lab as required, and potentially the developer. I didn't put any additional like cycles, if you need to do like the round one, the round two, the round three, the round X things, that can take forever, but that's the essence of the presentation. So yeah, I summarize quickly here, but I will spare you some time. So I guess maybe you are aware a little bit, so to refer to the previous image where everything was a little bit like inviting and really nice and so on, so here it's Guernica from Pablo Picasso. I guess you all like knowing this picture, and it's a little bit representing more the reality. So you're like, oh. So which IG is applicable? When will the CMVP begin processing? What do we do? Where will I have my certificate? Is it in the FIPS scope? And I'm sure I can add a lot, but I don't want to charge too much the certification process. So here, really quickly, it's a slide to say that I have experience on other certification, and so I have experience on common criteria in different schemes, and PCI PTS as well. And I just wanted to say that I brought those elements into that presentation to try to see how it can fit into the FIPS 140 certification process. So another quote from Albert Einstein: we cannot solve our problem with the same thinking we used when we created them. And I think that's definitely a good quote. And this guy is actually inventing the wheel, but he's like wondering whether it's a really great invention, because at some point you need to comply with the government guidelines, and sometimes it's not adapted, but anyway, just a quick joke. So here are the core of my proposition. I can make multiple slides, but I just selected like four ideas. And the first one is the kickoff meetings. So kickoff meetings, what is it? It's something that at the beginning of the evaluation, I used to have in other certification. And this is something that we call in common criteria the R0, so it's French, like zero kickoff evaluation, where all the parties, so developer, lab, and government is involved, and you review the scope, you agree what you're gonna do, what are the documents that are applicable, such as when you start the evaluation, the certification, and the evaluation report is already done, and all the tasks that have been performed during the evaluation, you already agreed on that at the beginning. So when you open the evaluation report, you don't think back, hey, did I apply the right document? Was it the right scope, the right work, the right things to do? I mean, it can bring a lot of good things. And as well, a little bit on those type of kickoff meetings, just before the certification at the end of the evaluation, I used to have a meeting to discuss about the evaluation report and analyzing with all the parties the report of this specific evaluation, saying, okay, we did those type of testing, it went that way, and such as it brings the certifier up to speed, such as he understands precisely what has been done, and he can jump in more quickly into the certification process. So next thing is the test plan validation. So it's during the evaluation. Usually it's one of my practice, and maybe I can recommend it to you. I request the lab to issue me a certification plan to be sure about what I'm going to test, and such as there's no surprise, because maybe it's funny in the presentation, but I don't like the surprise into the evaluation process. And I think it's really beneficial if the three parties are involved, because you're sure about what type of testing are done. The government already oversees that, validate that, and do not request an additional test later on. So it maximizes the predictability of the test cycle and the certification timelines as well. So I'm half of my presentation, half of the time, but I went a little bit quicker. The evaluation report, another proposition is that finally it is shared by the developer and the lab. I know some labs share this evaluation report, some labs don't. I don't think it's a good idea to not share it, because it's IP from both of them. And actually, by sharing this report, you can, the developer is able to do like comments onto this specific report. It helps the certification, it clarifies the gray areas, and it supports for me the better communication on the comments that can be done later on by the certifier. So that's something I recommend. And actually, I'm running really fast, so there's going to be room for a question later. And one last bullet that I wanted to share with you is an update of the scheme meeting. So I know that, I think on Monday, there was a meeting between the CMVP and the labs. So I'm aware of it, because some labs are giving me some insight of it. But as a developer, I think it can be beneficial that in a certain way, not necessarily this particular meeting, but another type of meeting maybe, where we can have a discussion about how we can improve the certification process and give the vendor experience and present what we would like to have, rather than just receiving some information and receiving some proposition of update of this certification process. We can present what would be good for us. And so this is summed up here. It's a common practice in other certification. It's regular, ideally face-to-face, to get to know each other, which I think at some point is good. And all parties can give feedback to the proposed updates. Ability to anticipate the change, and that's an important point, because if you say, hey, tomorrow you need to do those type of new things, I mean, there's still like a certain time of cycle, especially if you need to update the software, that can take like probably months, and I don't think it's so efficient. So here is some other ideas I had, some future possible work with a certification update framework that finally I did a presentation last year on that subject, and tomorrow I will have a talk, so it's a little bit of an advertisement. And I think we're getting close to the end and an update to the IG, so I think that's good. There can be like as well an evolution of the FIPS 140 supporting document at a speed that can be followed, because sometimes I think everyone's saying that you have the IGs coming all the time and you're like, well, I guess you understand me. And the last point, last bullet, was the Agile certification. So more and more all the companies are moving to an Agile development cycle, which is kind of complex, and you can do something either you can still think that it's still a waterfall model in a way, the certification. I'm sure that we can work out something, and in common criteria there are some discussion and thinking in some working group on how we can be more agile for doing the certification. So that's some future possible area of discussion. And that's it. So I was thinking having so much light that it's gonna take me more time, but yeah, so I'm done. Thank you.
I'm Gen Sakurai from Japanese CMVP, and in our scheme, a kickoff meeting is available, and some vendors were very happy to complete the project within estimated development life cycle. So we can available to have a kickoff meeting.
Good. Very good point. I think it's important. And you get to know who you can discuss too, actually. You know, who is the certifier is not like a gray area. You can put a name to it. Any more question?
One.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry. Hello. It's something I've been thinking about quite a lot recently, because The big questions I get now, my name's Alan Gornall, I'm a FIPS consultant, also do CC, is when I talk to vendors, their big worry is one of risk management. You know, they're worried that they're going to spend 6 months developing a FIPS module, it's going to go through a lab evaluation, and when the lab submits the report, the review is going to throw up something that they weren't expecting. And my experience with Common Criteria is that the kickoff meeting is some way that really helps with this, because you get a reviewer assigned at the start, and he might have some pet interest that he wants to explore during the evaluation.
Definitely.
And so that can be fed in, whereas now we get to coordination and we
and something
issues,
which pop
we,
up
you know,
the box.
Come out of the blue, we had no way of expecting them, and it just throws everything into chaos. It's something that I'm, you know, that's something that's been on my mind as well. But I just wondered whether you had whether you had spoken to anyone in CMVP, and whether you had any feedback.
Just today.
And have you got any feedback, or is this the forum?
Where is the CMVP? CMVP, can you raise the hand or? Oh, so you take notes, okay? No, it's definitely important. And in a way, sorry, just quick note. I think, finally, we all manage our project with milestones. And at some point, milestones mean you got an achievement. And, I mean, sometimes you cannot say you have an achievement if all the parties have not agreed on that. So that's why I'm recommending that we have some discussion with the and implication of the CMVP into the process.
Yeah, a few slides earlier, you had mentioned your earlier experiences in CC in Europe and the UK. There was one other standard I thought I saw. What
this
was
one?
That? PCI PTS. What is?
So PCI PTS is like the big house of all the PCI standards, and you have PCI pins, so the management of the pins, you have PCI HSM for the hardware security module, and you have other PCI standards. And basically, a lot of the information comes from the common criteria, some working groups like the GTEMs, the GRs, and you have as well some like FIPS elements you need to do like some algorithm testing. So. But it's not. It's different from common criteria in FIPS, because it's finally those two I just mentioned are more like government sided. PCI PTS is like a council. It's like privately owned scheme. And I think it's a good remark in a certain sense, because PCI is starting to have more power in a certain sense. Those type of private scheme start to rise up a lot. I can mention as well EMV, for instance. Yeah, and exactly. Yeah, it covers money and people, you know, honestly, you can really pay them and they will hire consultants super quickly. I know Phipps did a very good job to brought up some consultant to speed up the process, which I really liked it. But PCI have the same notions and as well for EMV. Yeah, sure.
Hey, so I worked for a lab, and as much as I wanted to share my report with the vendor, you know, of course, there's IP involved in there. My upper management wouldn't let me divulge our like testing methodology, and the report contained a lot of that. So, besides the obvious NDA between the vendor and a testing laboratory, is there anything else that you can think of to protect both parties?
Sure. So in the CC world, actually, as in the Phipps 140 and all the scheme, I guess, you have a specific audit by the certification scheme owner of the different labs. And within France, within common criteria in Europe, basically, they have a particular list of things to validate and verify with the labs. And one part of it is the report. There's the specification of the report. For instance, in France, a common criteria report is COFRAC. It's like a type of certification. And basically, it's precise what is inside, and it's owned by the two party. Ah, I'm done, sorry.
Thank you.
So, yeah. I'm 7 seconds late. Okay, so I don't know if you have any more things, but yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so that brings to the end this part of the session. There's now a coffee break out in the exhibit area and probably around the corner in the exhibit hall. We reconvene at 4 o'clock.